Hey, Claremont. Oh, yeah, see, some of the guys dared me. Normally, whenever we get to camp, I'll say, hey, Cappers, and they all respond, hey, Papa John. So someone dared me to say, hey, Claremont this morning, right? So there you go. You got the, hey, Papa John. Hey, you know, a couple things. Dave was talking about the corporation meeting that we're having up there. You know what? We're entering right now. In 2013, we're entering the 50th year of us owning Verdugo Pines Bible Camp. We bought it from the Boy Scouts back in 1963. And so we're entering our 50th year, the year of Jubilee. All right, so we're going to have a big hoopla thing happening. It's going to end up taking place on Memorial Day. That's May, I think it's 27th. So you got to put it on your calendars. You got to come up to camp. It's a freebie daytime type thing. We're going to have some of the camps. If you want to rent the cabins for the whole weekend, we're going to end up renting out the cabins. That'll cost you a little bit. But as far as coming up for the day, we're going to feed you. We're going to let you bring your kids and enjoy the camp there as a just kind of a celebration of our 50th year. So put that on your calendar. This morning I'm going to be speaking out of Thessalonians chapter 5. This is a healthy lifestyle for the local church, is what this portion is talking about. But before we start there, I want to go ahead and go to Romans chapter 12. Now, if you guys, I know I hardly remember, but what I spoke on last time I came here was in Romans chapter 12. We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. If you can recall some of that, but we're talking about some of that out of Romans chapter 12. But he starts there, chapter 12 of Romans. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. He says, I'm begging you, believers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It says, it is your reasonable service. Now, why is it your reasonable service to give your life back to God? Why is it a reasonable service for me to be a living sacrifice? It's because what he's done for us in the past. He died. He sacrificed everything for us. What he's done for us in the past and also in the present. What he's doing for us today. You know, the power that he gives us through the power of the Spirit of God. What he does for us, it's my reasonable service to give my life back to him as a living sacrifice because of what he does for me today. And then also what he's going to do for me in the future. Isn't it? It's my reasonable service because of what I have for eternity. It is only our reasonable service. He says, I want you to renew your minds. Now, how do I renew my mind? I got to get a different mindset. I have to change the way I think. And he says, this is your reasonable service to renew your mind. And so what I'm going to ask you here this morning to end up doing, saying, Lord, it's my reasonable service to change my my mindset. You know, in today's vernacular, they'd end up saying, have a paradigm shift, you know. Change the way you think about this by looking through Scripture. Lord, let's change our mind. May the Lord cause us to change our minds here today. Let's go ahead and read Thessalonians, and then I'm going to come back and comment on that. We're going to start in verse 12. And you know what? I remember last time I got up here, and I had to have glasses because of how far this goes. So those that don't know me with glasses, there you go, right? Here we go. I'm getting to that age now. You know what? Instead of starting there in verse 12, I'm going to start verse 11. Now, we know in Scripture, and in my particular translation, they have kind of a paragraph change here between verse 11 and verse 12. But we know that when Scripture was written there, there was no paragraph changing there. There was no chapters break up and that sort of thing. This is what we've done. It's a good thing to help us focus on where we're going and that sort of thing. But I can see that it kind of ties together a little bit. I don't want to make a big deal about it. But let's start at verse 11. It says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing. And then it goes on, but it talks about therefore. Now, what we've always learned, you know, if you see the word therefore, you got to see what it's there for. What he's talking about in the first part of in chapter 5 there, he's talking about the coming of the Lord. He says, because the coming of the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night, because the Lord's coming back. Therefore, and then he goes down a whole list of things. You know what I like? I'm a list kind of guy. My wife, she'll make a list for me. Yeah, because she knows I can go down, check off okay, number one, number two, number three, number four, and I can go down and get something done. You know, whenever we go shopping, you know what? If I don't have a list, I'm buying all kinds of stuff. You know, that looks good. You know, I'm hungry, and you know, that looks good. And I buy things that I should not be buying because I don't have a list. You know, and then also it kind of keeps you focused. You know what Paul does here? He goes down a list, and he gives us point by point in this portion here. And I think that's probably why I like this portion so much, is because he's just going down a checklist. And you can put a little checkbox in front of each one of these verses as you kind of go down it. And so we're going to go through a list here, and let's go ahead and start reading here. Verse 12, it says, we urge you, believers or brethren, and it says brethren here, but you know, you sisters also, it says, I plead with you, I beg with you. It's just like we started out in Romans chapter 12. Remember, he started out, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Listen here, it says, I urge you, therefore, brethren. He says, I beseech you, I beg you, I plead with you, not for my benefit, but for yours here, to recognize those who labor among you. You know, the King James Version talks about know, that you may know those that labor among you. I think here it's talking about honoring those and respecting those who are laboring among you. Appreciate those who labor among you. How many of you really know the people that labor among you? You know what? This is here's kind of a challenge, isn't it? You know, we kind of expect that, you know what? The elders ought to invite me over to dinner, you know, so they can get to know me. When was the last time we had an elder over at our home? So we can get to know them. Get to know them. It says, recognize those, appreciate those that labor among you. And I do know that this portion here is talking about the leaders, because it read on just a little bit, it says, and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. It says, and to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake. So we do know that they are talking about the leadership here too. But it's talking about all believers here too, those that labor among you. Remember we talked a few months back about different people that have gifting in the body here. We also saw that some have the gift of teachers among you, some that have the gift of evangelism, some that have the gift of helps, some that have the... Do you know those people? Have you appreciated those that labor amongst you? It's not just the leaders. Do you know the others? How about those that have the gift of helps? You know, it seems those that have the gift of helps, they're always helping us. But have you appreciated those that labor amongst you? Have you had them out to dinner and said, man, I just want to appreciate you? You know what I had happen here, and it's just been recently, and I don't know if it's because I'm looking an awful lot older, but you know what? My boys, whenever I go out to dinner, they bought me dinner. I said, no, really, really, here, I can, no, Dad, I want to buy you dinner tonight. I go, wow, now that was a shock, you know, to pick me up off the floor, you know. And it wasn't so much that I needed them to buy me a dinner, you know. Did I have the money to buy my own dinner? I did. But you know what it was being appreciated by my kids. And they said, thank you. You know, in some sort of way, you know, it's kind of a sick way. You know, I'll buy you a dinner, tell you I appreciate you. You know, we should be saying that, but... you know, when my boys end up buying me dinner, they appreciated me. Let's read on here. I've got to see if we can get through this chapter real quick, all right? It says, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. You know what? God changed my heart to love some of them too. You know, there's some of those people that I really... don't love. I do appreciate what they're doing, but my love for them is a little bit tough. I'm going to quote a little quote here, and let's read on here, and I'll quote it in the next one. It says, "Be at peace among yourselves, submitting to one. You need to submit to one another in love. You know, living in peace. There's a unity or a peace or a love for one another, knowing that God is the has brought you together with Him. You know, there's some of the people that God has gifted in the local assembly that is there for your benefit." Whether you appreciate them or not, God brought them there for your benefit. That's part of the body. If I'm part of the body, they're here for my benefit. There was a quote I love from Bob Irvine. I don't know how many of you guys remember. I think I had it in my notes here, and I don't want to jump in front of myself, but he had this little quote. He'd say, "To live above with saints I love, oh, that will be glory. But to live below with saints I know, now that's another story." You know, sometimes we end up looking somewhere in the future. You know, these people I love, that's going to be tremendous. But to live with the saints that God's brought into our lives today, sometimes that's tough. But it says, you know, we need to esteem them highly in love. Oh, God, give me the love for them. It says, verse 14, it says, "Now we exhort you, believers, brethren," and he gives you a list of things that he's going to encourage you to do. He says, "I exhort you, I encourage you to do these things." And now he's going to start the list, and he's going to give us a list. "I encourage you to do these things." He's calling us to action here. There's times that we end up saying, you know, that's somebody else's job to do. We say, you know what, the elders should talk to that young man because of the way he's acting. And we back up and cross our arms and say, wait for the elders to talk to him. Or we end up saying, you know, the elders should talk to that young woman because of the way she's dressing. And we all look at them and look at how the elders are not reacting. But he has called us to action. We are all part of this body. And what we need to end up doing is going to them and warn them. You can end up seeing, in verse 14 says, "Warn those who are unruly." Now, those that are causing dissension, those that are disturbing the peace. And we can see in the next book, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, it's talking about those who refuse to work, those that are busybodies. He says, warn them. But we need to end up saying, how? How do I warn them? Because sometimes we will look like busybodies whenever we're warning them, don't we? We need to warn them, not threatening, not nagging, not in a prideful arrogance or telling them, you know, I'm going to tell on you. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to go talk to the elders about you. We're not doing that in a threatening way. We're not nagging them. I told you once, I told you 100 times, stop doing what you're doing. We're not nagging them. And we're not approaching them in an arrogance. You know, when I was a kid, we never used to do that. You know, how many people have heard that one before? You know, there's times that we end up saying we're going to warn somebody, but we're not doing it the way the Scripture has asked us to do it. And we can see in Matthew chapter 18 and going through some of that different process. But we're communicating out of love, out of a broken-hearted concern for that person. Oh, my heart breaks because I can see the result of the direction you're going. I love you so much. I don't want this to take place in your life. And it says, warn such a one. But there is a process in which we warn such a one. Read on down. It says, comfort the faint. So that was number one, warn the unruly. Here it says, comfort the faint-hearted. Now, who is a faint-hearted that he's referring here to? You know, there's some of us, I think, that we can look around us and we can end up seeing, you know, these people are faint-hearted. These people are discouraged. These people here need comforting. And he's asked us to do it, not just the leadership. He's asked us as a body to comfort one another, to step in and comfort those that are faint-hearted, those that would are about ready to give up. Step in alongside, comfort the faint-hearted. When was the last time you dropped a note in the mail, or maybe even an email, just to comfort the faint-hearted? Not so much you want to get something out of it, but to encourage them. You know, there's a lot of times we do it because it's their birthday or because there's a special occasion. But let's do it on a day that there's no special occasion. It's just because I love them. Here's the next one. It says, uphold the weak. Number three, uphold the weak. Who are the weak that are amongst us? You know what? Listen here, I think the comfort the faint hearted was talking about those that are emotionally weak. Listen here is talking about those that are physically weak or even spiritually weak. Uphold the weak. And I think especially in those that have a spiritual gift amongst us. You know, I know that, you know, I fellowship down at Bethel in Riverside whenever I can. And I know there's some that are weak down there. And you say, you know what, they can't get to the assembly. Let's give them a ride. Let's support them. Let's uphold them in a manner so they can fulfill their gift. How about taking somebody down to end up letting them fulfill their gift as evangelism? Let me take them to the mall so they can hand out tracts. I don't know. How do we uphold the weak? I think we look at it physically also. We say, well, we can help somebody by re-roofing their house or help them by doing things physically. But I think there's a spiritual upholding that we need to do here also. Uphold the weak. Then it says, be patient with all. Wow, patience. Why did he throw that in there? Because, you know what? Sometimes the weak people really get irritating. You know, sometimes those people that need encouragement, you know what, they ought to just grow up. You know, I've encouraged them before, and I said it once, I don't need to say it again, you know. We need to continue. He says, be patient with all. Also, those that are unruly, are we patient with the unruly? That's a tough one, too. So we have those three points that he ended up saying. He says, now be patient with all these. And I think Paul knew our heart here to be patient with all. The weak, the discouraged, and the unruly. They drain us. But where is my joy? Where do I get the power to go on, to continue on? And he's going to end up going through some of those now. He says, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. You know, we're not only responsible for our own action, but we are also responsible for the rest of the body. When we see somebody in the body that is rendering evil for evil, you know what? Last time we had a baby shower, they didn't invite me, so I'm not going to invite them. You know, last time, you know, we went out to dinner, you know, and we repay evil for evil. Is that really evil? No, but there's a vengeance that has taken place there, a revenge that has taken place. And when we see that amongst some of the others, say, you know what, I'd encourage you to go ahead and invite these people, even though they're unruly, even though they're weak, even though they're emotionally draining. We need to invite one another. We need to end up not only being patient for all, but making sure that the rest of the body is patient with one another that way also. No revenge taking place. Sometimes we end up saying, well, you know what? They got what they deserved. You know, they live that lifestyle, and so there they go. You know, I'm not going to bail them out this time. Is that revengeful? You know, the Lord knows our hearts. You know, let's encouraging one another in love and good works that we read in Hebrews chapter 10. But it says, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Now we get into the different points that he goes through here. He's going to go through about seven more points here, but we taking care of those first three. But look at this. It goes on. It says, rejoice evermore. I want to end up going through these next points here. And I want to end up also looking at the opposite of. Because there's a lot of times I can recognize myself, not so much in what I'm doing good, but what I do the opposite of. So let's read on. It says, rejoice evermore. How do I rejoice evermore? I think the Lord's asking us to have a praiseful mindset. When I talked to you earlier about letting your minds change, you know, even in Philippians chapter 2, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He's saying, allow this mindset to be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. It's the Spirit of God that lives in us, but there's a lot of times we're quenching the Spirit, right? We're not allowing the Spirit of God to flow through us. He says, allow, let this mind be in you. Have a praiseful mindset. What is the opposite of having a praiseful mindset? You know, I got a pretty clear one on all these other points, but this first one here, what is the opposite of having a praiseful mindset? You know, there is a focus on the created things instead of the Creator. There's times that we end up, and we can see that in Romans chapter 1, don't we? Where we're focusing on the creation instead of the Creator. We're looking at a happiness, you know, because I have this, I'm going to be happy. But joy is talking about something different than happiness. Having a joyful mindset, a praiseful mindset, where we're praising God for different things that come into our life. Good or bad, but we're recognizing God's goodness and we're recognizing God's sovereignty. God has allowed this to come into my life. And so I have a praiseful mindset. I think we turn to Romans 8:28. It says that all things work together for good to them that love God and call according to his purpose. But I think sometimes we look at the things. All things work together for good. It's not the things that are working together. It's God working in me to go through these things, and my mindset changes, and I am changed, and it turns out for good in me. It's not the things. It is the me that ends up changing. All things work together for good. Them that called according to his purpose. Having a praiseful mindset. You know, whenever something starts falling apart, we had a guy, we had a print shop down in Riverside for a number of years, and I had a guy come in the back of my door one time. His name is Lou Hurley, and I don't know if I've shared some of this story with some of you before, but this Lou Hurley had his Lou's Lock and Safe. He had his own company, you know. And he was a believer, and we would talk our spiritual conversation from time to time when he'd come in. He was always a good brother in the Lord. Anyways, he come walking in the back door, and he end up, he's whistling, he's singing as he's walking in. I said, oh, Lou, what are you so happy about? He goes, oh, John, you'd never believe it. He says, my wife got in a car accident yesterday, totaled the car. Now, we don't have a car. I go, oh, man, I'm sorry, Lou. He goes, yeah, also, he says, I had a guy that bounced a check to me, and it happened to be through 7-Eleven's, had a big account, and they bounced a check to him. And he says, I wrote my taxes against that check. He says, so now I bounce a check to the IRS for, you know, $14,000. I go, oh, Lou, you know. He goes, not only that, you know, my wife's in the hospital, we don't have insurance. I go, oh, Lou, you know, and every time he says something, my knees go a little weaker. I say, oh, Lou, I'm sorry. I said, well, what are you singing about? He says, I can't wait to see how God's going to get me out of this one. Wow, what an attitude, huh? What an attitude. Because he knew who's the sovereign God. He knew who's over him. He knew who knew the beginning from the end. And he says, I can't wait to see how God's going to get me out of this one. Boy, talk about a joyful. Rejoice evermore. Yeah, it's easy to rejoice in the good time. It's tough to rejoice through the trials, isn't it? Here he says, pray without ceasing, having a prayerful mindset. What is the opposite of having a prayerful mindset? I really believe it's having an independent mindset, isn't it? Instead of dependence upon God, I have this independent mindset. You know, I can handle this on my own. I really don't need the Lord right now. Do we have that? Recognizing that we are dependent upon the one that gives us life, that gives us breath. This past summer, we had one of the girls end up, once in a while, some of the staff would come up to me and say, hey, would you pray for me about this, or would you pray for me about that? And I had this one girl come up and ask me for prayer on one situation. You know what? And it wasn't because I'm super spiritual. The reason why I told her, well, let's pray for that right now. But the reason I said that is because I have this mind, this memory that will forget. And if I don't pray about it right now, you know, I'm going to forget. So let's pray about it right now. So we stepped aside and we closed our eyes and we started praying and asking the Lord to superintend over this situation. You know, at the end of the summer, she says, you know what I learned? She says, I learned that we can pray anytime. And I thought, wow, I wasn't doing it for a teaching experience, you know. But that is sometimes something new to some other people. To end up praying about that situation right now. Praying always in the middle of that situation right now. And I think there's times that we end up saying, you know what, I'm going to put it on my list. And we will we'll pray about it later. And I think the Lord wants us to pray for that right now. He brought it to somebody's mind, praying always. I think there's a time also where we have to end up communing with God on a regular basis. You know, we're in the middle of a situation, and we're asking, oh, what color shirt do you want me to wear today, Lord? You know, am I washing these dishes? Boy, I'm having a hard time. You know, and sometimes we say, oh, well, you're frivolizing prayer, John. But you know what? I think the Lord wants us to be in a constant communion with Him. On little things, all the little details of life, where He says, I want you to be continually communicating with me. Sometimes we put that prayer up on a shelf and say, well, I have to end up being in this position or that, in this location to be able to pray. Now, I'm not taking away from, you know, stepping into your closet and having that personal one-on-one time with the Lord. We still need that. But we need to be in constant communion with Him also. In the next one, it says, in everything, give thanks, having a thankful mindset. What's the opposite of having a thankful mindset? I came up with having a critical spirit. How many of us have that critical spirit, especially with some of those unruly people that we were talking about early? Sometimes we become critical of some of those that need help all the time. Sometimes we become critical of, you know, they're just not doing it the right way. And we're going to get down into quenching the spirit in a minute, but I think sometimes we become critical even of some that are sharing spiritual things and say, well, they ought to say it this way, or they ought to do it that way. And we're quenching the spirit that way. But let's get back up to the thankfulness. You know, there's some have said the reason young people are leaving the church today is because they don't want what we have. Think about that. The reason young people are leaving the church today is because they don't want what we have. They don't see a joy in our life, rejoicing in everyone. They don't see us, they see us being critical of others. They see that our prayer life is cold and routine. And they say, do I really want that? I want this relationship with the Lord that is alive and thrive. But they look at us and they say, you know what? I don't know if I want what they have. If we were full of joy, if we were thankful, if we're grateful, if we didn't have this critical spirit, They would say, that is different. That person is different than every other person I know. I want what they have. You know, I'm guilty of that myself. I know my boys have looked at me and looked at my lifestyle or my, not so much lifestyle, but my attitude towards different things. And they kind of look at it and they say, you know, really, do I really want that attitude? You know, I want to be different. I want to have something alive in me that is different. We need to have these three things that we just talked about: being praiseful, being prayerful, and being thankful. It says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. You know, you can end up taking that list and you could say, you know what, I want to change. I want to be a different person. I want to be one that comforts the faint-hearted. I want to be the one that upholds the weak. I want to be the one that is more patient, more joyful, be thankful. These are different checklists that I want to check off in my life. You can go down that checklist and say, I purpose to end up doing this. But you cannot fulfill these directives without Christ being in you. Here, let's read that last part again. It says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You have to have Christ in you. I think when I drove up, I saw you guys had a different verse on the sign out. Maybe it's been there a while, but it's the first time I saw it. It says, he that is in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And unless you have Christ, if you're not in Christ or Christ in you, you might be able to check off some of these. But you're no better than the self-help gurus that have the tapes out there that you can listen to these tapes and get all excited about your life, but you're not going to change unless you have Christ in you and you in Christ. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So you can go down this whole list and you can try to change on the surface, but I think that is where our kids, that is where the young people see the difference in us. They're just trying, but there's no change. We're not allowing the Spirit of God to control us. One of the passages I go over with the staff during the summer is I used to work with Malone Construction. Those that know Malone, Tim Malone, he did some concrete sign. And we would go down and he had us cutting these windows in these concrete block walls, you know, and so he sent me out on this one job, and I took this concrete saw, and I plugged it into a little generator there. It's a 110 generator, and I got up there, and I started trying to cut this concrete. It's for window air conditioners. And he hit some rebar, and about died. And I keep trying to work it through that rebar, and I get to the next one, you know, and I call him on the phone. I said, hey, Tim, this is going to take me forever. There is no way that I'm going to get through all these windows by the end of the day. I really need some help down here. He says, okay, I'll be up there in a minute. So he drives up. But he has on his truck, he has a bigger generator. It puts out 220 volt. You know, and he gets this great big saw. He flips on and goes, vroom, vroom, vroom. And he cuts these things out real quick. I said, wow. I said, you know what? Now, if I had the 220 power, I could have got it done. And so I take the staff to Galatians 2:20. Oh, for the 220 power, you got to go to Galatians 2:20. And some of you guys can even quote this in here. It says, for I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So if you want the power, you got to have the 220 power. You got to have Christ living in you. If you want to be able to succeed, you're going to wear yourself out trying to check off this list. You're going to be so tired, you're going to say, I don't know if I can continue on. You know where you get the joy? It says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. When it says rejoice evermore, you're depending upon the joy to end up giving you strength. You know what? There's sometimes people, and Bob and Lauren know this, up at camp, it'll wear you out. You know, but unless you enjoy doing what you're doing, it will wear you out. There's times I get up there and people say, you still enjoy doing what you're doing? I really do. I really enjoy it. Is it a lot of work? Absolutely. You know, physically, my knees are starting to get a little bit shaky here towards the end of summer. You know, but you know what? I enjoy it. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and it carries us through fulfilling some of these checklist items. Let's go down to the next one. It says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. What is the opposite of that? Quenching the Spirit is being, instead of being Spirit-filled, we are self-filled. I'm here to end up fulfilling what I want to fulfill. There's so many people that will end up coming up and they want to volunteer to come up to camp and to work, you know, and they say, let me help you out. Let me help you out. And I said, well, how about, let's go clean some toilets. And they say, well, you know what? I was looking more like flipping pancakes, or I was kind of hoping that we would be able to do this or that. And they say, well, this is really what we need to have accomplished, but yeah, you can go ahead and flip pancakes if you want, you know, and we'll have them do some of that. But what do? We have the Spirit of God that is directing us. And we're not going to be able to hear this. It says the Spirit of God comes sometimes in a small, still voice. And I have to be quiet to end up hearing the direction He's leading me. And there's a lot of times we say, but I really want to do this, or I want to do that. And God says, no, this is what I have for you right now. It may be some of the mundane, the hard and the tough stuff. But this is what the Lord has for us. So don't quench the Spirit. I can get into that a little bit deeper here, but and maybe I will a little bit here. You know, how is some of the ways we end up allowing the Spirit of God quenched in our hearts, in our lives? You know, one of the biggest ones in my life? Television. I don't know if you guys have a problem with that. But I'll tell you what, we will end up turning on the news. I got to see the news. I have to see the news sometimes 2 and 3 times a day. No, not that many times a day. But, you know, I have to go watch the news. But I have to end up, you know, and you know what? By the time I'm going to bed, you know what? I'm too tired to read my Bible. It's too tired to end up. And what has happened is I had entertainment step in between me and my Savior. And we have to end up making sometimes some harder choices and saying, I'm quenching the Spirit of God in my life because of, and each one has their own. Had one guy talk to me about video games. He says, that does not even excite me. But for some reason, you know, that is what was coming between him and the Lord. What is the one thing that is coming between you and the Lord? Are you quenching the Spirit of God there? Despise not prophecy. It's verse 20. Despise not prophecy. Do you have a teachable mindset? There are times that we end up become teachable, and there's sometimes we're going through the motions of being teachable. I share with some of the kids at our staff. I said, you know what, down at Bethel Chapel, and we have Bethel Chapel has a building like that. I think McAfee is the one that built this chapel. You know, he built the one down there at Bethel too. But you know what? I have counted every bolt in that beam. You know, there were some slats on the ceiling. When the preacher's talking, I'm kind of looking up and I look really pious, like I'm really spiritual, but I'm really counting bolts. You know? You know, there's times that I would do different things. You know, I'm just trying to spend my time here. What am I doing? Am I despising prophecy? You look towards in Malachi, and he says, you despise my name, and the priests say, how have we despised your name? He said, by saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. He says, we haven't said that. He says, you have said that by your actions. You have said that by counting the bolts. You have said that by waking up in the morning. Oh man, really? I really need to sleep in a little bit. Do I really need to go to church this morning? We're saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. He says, do not despise prophecy. I think sometimes we point at others. Look at them, look at them. But this morning I'm saying, look at us. Be a little introspective this morning. Here it says, verse 21, it says, test all things, hold to what is good. Now, what is this? I think you have to have a faithful mindset, holding to what is good, being faithful. And we see that in Timothy when it says, commit such thing to faithful men. Am I one that the Lord would commit something to? Am I faithful? I think the opposite is lacking integrity. And what is it, integrity? We're talking about, you know, somebody that does right no matter who's looking. You know, and so whenever nobody's looking, when I'm alone by myself, am I doing what is right? Am I a man of principle? Have I set different things in my life, guidelines in my life to end up saying, this is what I need to do. I'm going to be a faithful man, not to people around me, not for eye service of people around me watching me, but I'm going to do it because this is what the Lord has asked me to do. I answer to the Lord, and I'm going to be a faithful man to his word. And then this verse 22 says, abstain from every form of evil. Having a holy mindset. What's the opposite? A compromising lifestyle. An undisciplined lifestyle. A lot of times lacking character. So Lord, change me. I want to be a man of integrity. I want to be a holy life set apart for your use. We go to 2 Timothy 2 and 20. It's talking about there are vessels in God's house, vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor, and you have a choice of what type of vessel you want to be in God's house. A vessel of honor, ready for the master's use. This is some guidelines for a healthy living in your local assembly. It's a checklist, so to speak. It's not the others around you that you need to be concerned about. I'm going to fill out this checklist on them or on my elders. What I'm going to do, I'm going to look at this checklist for my life. Because the assembly is you. If we're not living this lifestyle, if I am not upholding the weak, if I am not encouraging the faint-hearted, if I am not in a loving way approaching the unruly, my assembly suffers. If I'm not going through these seven other steps, my assembly suffers. This is a checklist for us as individuals to have a healthy assembly. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the relationship that we have with you to call you Father. Also, Lord, we realize that you are Lord of our lives and you have given us directives in our lives to be able to correct us, to direct us. And Father, as we've gone through your word here, you have spoken to each one of our hearts. We pray that the Spirit of God, we will not quench the Spirit of God in our hearts, and we will make life-changing decisions based upon our time spent with you this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we commit ourselves now. Amen. Thank you for your time this morning.